This episode is brought to you by Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop. Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop creates wicked desserts for all, which includes a repertoire of cakes, pies, cheesecakes, and their famous boozy cupcakes. Using local brews and spirits, baking up a storm for Salt Lake City, you can find these boozy cupcakes at your favorite local breweries, distilleries, and coffee shops. Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop will also be at Brewstillery June 18th. Be sure to stop by and pair a cupcake with your adult beverage of choice. To order, send a DM to any of their social media platforms, Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop, or email them at sweetvinylbakeshop@gmail.com. Do not miss out on an opportunity, event, or holiday to let Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop bake for you. Until the next cupcakes, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, guys, super fun episode today. We are actually in the heart of Uinta. Can I say that? Is that kosher?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're in Uinta. I don't know why I'm whispering. I'm whispering. We're in Uinta right now. And I have one of my dear friends, co-host Rachel Bell. Rachel!
Hello!
How are you doing?
I am so great.
It's so good to see you, by the way.
It has been a minute.
So I want to ask you this question. Last time I saw you, you announced to me and who were at the table that you got a new job.
Oh.
And I would like to hear if it's okay to tell the world this new job of yours.
I am so stoked on this new job.
Yes.
So if you, I don't know, for those of you that know me or call my episodes, safety is a huge part of my love of craft beer. And for the first time in my life, I officially only get paid to care about safety.
Yes.
And basically, I'm allowed to just be a brewery safety nerd all day. And I am the employee health and safety specialist for Canarchy right now, which means I get to help a lot of breweries, not just one. And it's awesome. And I'm super stoked.
You have a lot more energy and you're happy. I see it. I sense it. And I like this. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to hear all about it on your trips and upcoming adventures.
Well, thank you.
So you have a dear friend that we are interviewing today in the heart of Uinta. Let's introduce our dear friend. Rachel, could you please introduce us?
This is my friend Meredith Tiet. And I think that she tell us about yourself. She's real shy. But everyone,
you're being shy.
Everybody clap for Meredith.
Oh my God, Meredith. Meredith, how are you doing today?
Well, hi there. I've never heard the term shy describe me.
Oh,
that's a weird one.
We've talked about a lot of firsts today, by the way.
Never been told I'm shy. Never been told I'm impolite. And all of a sudden, who am I?
Yeah, Meredith, who are you? Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? I want to ask this.
So I am born and raised Colorado.
What part of Colorado?
I grew up the first 10 years near Boulder in a town called Louisville. Not Louisville, Louisville.
Is it spelled Louisville, though?
It's spelled like Louisville.
But so you guys are snobby enough to say Louisville?
Yes. Mm. Well, one, we're not Southern. We're from Colorado. Two.
Okay, facts.
Two, it's Louisville. Just period, end of point. It's Louisville. And then when I was about 10, I moved up into Summit County, Colorado. The cool Summit County.
Oh, wow. Stab. Okay, there you go.
Sorry, Park Center.
I got to back this up. That's where I learned how to snowboard. It was in Summit County, Colorado.
Oh, so there's two for that Summit County.
Mel DeHood worked in Summit County.
So there's three for that county. Yeah. Okay, this place is pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. She worked at Outer Range, which is...
That's right.
Right near my hometown. But yeah, I grew up in the mountains at 9,000 feet above sea level. And then I attended school in Greeley, Colorado, which is in northeastern Colorado. Very close to Fort Collins, but it is the more, it is known to be a nursing school, a business school, and a musical theater school.
Hey.
It's one of the top musical theater programs outside of New York City.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Rachel?
I should have known that because I almost went to college for that.
Yeah. So there's,
I could have met you.
Yeah. Especially since I minored in dance and I was involved a lot in the musical theater program.
Oh, hell yeah.
Even though I didn't.
Did you end up going to school there in Greeley?
Yes, I did.
For what?
I have a degree in English.
Hey.
Liberal arts.
Do you like that degree?
It's not as useful as I had hoped, but in all honesty.
Did you actually use that degree? Because I have a degree I didn't use at all.
I ran a blog for a few years, like a fashion blog in Denver. And I think going into college, I loved to read and I hated to write. And then when I left college and I was reading 6 or 7 books a week, I hated to read and I loved to write.
Fascinating.
So it changed. I didn't read a book for almost 3 years after college. I couldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
Unless it was Harry Potter. Like, I just couldn't
do it. Oh, my God.
I couldn't do
it. So a favorite Harry Potter book then?
Favorite is probably the 4th one.
Goblet of Fire, yes. Right? And favorite movie, if you like the movies.
Favorite is the second.
The second one, and which was the Chamber of Secrets?
Yes. Okay. For similar reasons, because Dobby's my favorite character. And also in the 4th book, Hufflepuff gets a little bit of recognition. And as a diehard Hufflepuff.
Do you recognize yourself as a Hufflepuff?
100%.
Wow. Rachel, what member are you of the clans?
I am a Ravenclaw. Cusp of Gryffindor. Was going 50-50 on Ravenclaw, Gryffindor, and all the online quizzes, but then I did Pottermore, and it decided Ravenclaw. And I think I fit.
Not once. So, Merida, after you went to college, what happened after that?
So like I said, when I was in college, I met my two best friends in math class for kids who don't do math. It's literally called Math for the Liberal Arts. And one of my best friends was getting a degree in photography and the other was getting a degree in theater. So we met in this math class meant for kids who didn't want to do math. And we learned how to do our taxes and fun things like that.
Hey.
And, we just started becoming study partners and then became best friends. And then, one of them was a few years older than me and the other one. And the other one and I, her name's Kelsey. Shout out to Miss Kelsey. We decided to live together after college. And we started formulating a plan on a business idea. And unfortunately, this was, 2010. So the job market wasn't that great for a liberal arts major. And so I ended up moving actually out here for a year because my parents had moved out here about 6 months before.
Okay.
And I moved to Midvale.
Hey.
And my parents were regularly attending Hoppers because they would take a week and go, or every at least once a week they would walk there because it was super close to their house. And so I came out here and I got a job within a week at Hoppers because I had started working in a brewery when I was 17. And so I was like, hey, I know a little bit about beer and I've been a hostess. You should hire me. And they did.
Yeah.
And then after a year of that, I moved back to Colorado because I had no intention of staying in Utah at the time. And I started a fashion blog with my best friend, Kelsey. And it focused on Denver, Colorado fashion, and mostly local makers and creators and designers.
Of fashion.
Of fashion, yes.
Interesting.
And I was a wardrobe stylist, and I did pretty good. And our blog was doing really, really well. And then it just started, the whole idea of the fashion blogger started to massively shift very suddenly. It became more about the influencer and the brand sponsorships and things like that. And the direction we wanted to keep our blog at wasn't fully sustainable that way. And my best friend had just got offered to run a magazine in Denver.
Oh.
And she was doing really well at that. And I was honestly at a very lost time in my life, just in a tumultuous relationship. And so our blog kind of unfortunately went away and I took a step back from the blog, but I was offered a job as a wardrobe stylist in this boutique for a while. And I loved that. And I met some really cool people there. My boss there and the owner there, her name's Megan. She is so inspiring to me to this day. And she believed in me with fashion and it just, I think when I was ready to, in 2016, things were just really bad.
Yeah.
I just wasn't together. I wasn't at the boutique anymore. I had worked at a beer bar in downtown Denver, but it wasn't a healthy environment. First time I've ever gotten fired. So I called my parents and I was like, I need to get my shit together. Can I move in with you guys?
Yeah.
28 years old. And they're like, yeah, but there's rules. I said, okay. And they're like, you're going to have a curfew. You're going to hand over every dollar you have to us. Like, it was like full blown it was not prison. I don't want to say prison, but I had a lot of rules I had to follow.
Yeah.
And, but thank God, because it really helped me get my shit together. And not even a year later, I was in my own apartment. I was, I got my job at Uinta. I had started on my craft beer journey.
And that was in 2017 at that point?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so.
So do you feel like that little slowdown, kind of reset, restart was needed?
Yes.
Do you think you would have found kind of a positive outlook and outcome if you did not stop and just kind of take it back a little bit?
I don't think I would.
You think it would have been spiraled somewhere that you
I
didn't want to
go? I think I would have ended up homeless, in all honesty.
Gotcha.
If my parents had not...
Well, shout out to the parents then.
I know. If they had honestly not saved me, I would have...
Yeah, because I feel like when people hear that, they're like, oh shit, you got to go live with your parents and you had rules? Damn, mm-hmm. that sucks. But at the same time, that was needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to shut the hell up just to remember who you are and breathe.
Yeah. Oh, I've had to do that. I've had to go to my parents and be like, help. I drove overnight from New York back to Georgia and showed up on my mom's doorstep at like 8 a.m. once. And I was like, I think I need help.
I need help.
So thank you for being brave and sharing that story.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it really led me to, like I said, I never thought I'd want to stay in Utah, and then having to suck it up and admit that I was screwing up every damn day and have my mom realize I'm screwing up every damn day and be like, you want to be homeless or you want rules? And I was like, mm. And at the time I still had my cat. He was still alive. Sorry. It was really full blown a decision of, I'm not going to let this poor cat end up on the streets. And also if he goes to a home, he will not find a home because he will be too grumpy and I can't let that happen to him.
Amen. What's your cat's name?
His name is Joey.
Joey. Shout out Joey.
Joey was the best.
Joey's
the
best. I like that. Kitty.
Yeah. And that's the one on your phone, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Baby.
Pretty. So then Uinta came here. We have a bunch of beers in front of us. Mm-hmm. Are one of these beers one of the first beers that got you into craft beer? Let's crack one open, I say.
None of these are one of the first beers that got... I know.
Shame on you.
I couldn't... I kind of wanted to bring Baba, but I couldn't really find any.
What was the first Utah craft beer you ever had?
The first, probably either the Oh My Hef or the New Zealand IPA pale ale from Hoppers. It was something from Hoppers. Had to be something from Hoppers.
Award-winning beer.
Huh?
Are there award-winning beer
Very
makers?
Award-winning beer. Mm-hmm. I love their beer. I love 801, but sorry, I think this is the Pils is the best Pilsner in the Valley.
Wow.
Do we need to have an official moment of silence for Hoppers?
Yeah.
I mean.
It's in the process, though.
It's not RIP.
Oh.
It's not RIP.
I thought I heard that it was. Okay.
No.
That's my bad.
It's TBD.
It's TBD. They're looking for a solid location.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just.
That's good.
At the moment. Good. Time out, right?
Original location is RIP, but
Hoppers will be back.
Okay, maybe it was just that then.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just that. Maybe it was people in the area being really disappointed, which I can understand.
I'm disappointed. That was something where we went to lunch sometimes. You know, it's a great place.
It's a mile from my house.
Ah, fantastic.
They started my Utah craft beer career.
And I like that, yeah. And the beer, first beer. So is that the first craft beer you ever had, or is
Colorado
first craft beer you ever had?
I honestly could not tell you the first craft beer I ever had. My mom's a food scientist. My mom started homebrewing in like 1980.
Wow.
My parents, one of my earliest core memories is bottling my parents' homebrew and like sitting on the little bottle sealer. Because I was so little, I had to be like 3 or 4 and just sitting on the bottle sealer.
No way.
Yeah. And so
you started early in the craft beer scene there, Merida.
Has literally been a part of my life since before I was born.
Wow, that's really cool.
Like 16 or 17 doing, my mom being a food scientist, doing like tastings and like, what notes are you picking up on? Why are we getting this? My mom was at the opening day of Breckenridge Brew Pub.
Wow.
Yeah. Way, obviously like a good 15 years before they got bought out. Like,
wow.
Craft beer is the biggest part of my family.
That's really cool.
So I could not tell you. It was probably something from Breck or Tommyknocker or some sort of like mountainy brew pub.
So it wasn't dog shit, basically. It wasn't Bud Light.
No,
not that
no.
Bud Light's dog shit. I'm just saying.
I do. This is one of my favorite stories to tell whenever I'm at like a job interview or anything. When I was 21, my parents were gone and I was house sitting for them and I had a party And yeah, there were some people there who weren't old enough to drink, but whatever. They didn't, I didn't buy the beer for them. Someone else bought the beer for them. But they brought a bunch of Bud Light and we were like playing beer pong and stuff like that. And they came home like 2 days later and my mom looks at me and she goes, "You had a party." And I'm like, "No, what are you talking about? I didn't have a party." "No." She goes, "House is really clean." I'm like, "I felt like cleaning it. I wanted to be nice." And she goes, she comes out of the garage where the recycling was and she goes, "And you don't drink this shit." And it was a case of Bud Light. And I was like, fuck.
That's actually funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, she called you out on Bud Light.
Yeah. She knows I don't drink that shit. I still, to this day, probably don't. Yeah. Don't.
Not even for beer pong?
Beer pong, yeah.
See, that's like the probably only time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has the,
if
has
someone else
exception.
Has it, but if I'm picking up beer for beer pong, I'm picking up Banquet.
Good for you. Good for you, classy. Mm-hmm. So then with these beers in front of you, what's one you want to open up right now?
I do want to open up this Angry James Citra Lager. So Angry James is a brewery in my hometown in Silverthorne. And a lot of people who worked at the brewery I first started at, which was the Dill and Dam Brewery, which is just up the street, they ended up leaving Dill and Dam and starting this right as the pandemic started.
Oh.
And this last Christmas, I finally got to try it because my parents moved back to my childhood home. So I finally got to try this brewery and it's really good. And so I brought their Citra Lager. Actually, my mom brought a 4-pack for me from home and I was like, yes, this is perfect timing.
That's awesome.
So I definitely wanted you guys to try this. And like, you know, I was listening to the episode with Patrick Bork the other day and talking about like something I never thought of was like having to brew at 7,000 feet. Angry James is probably at about 9,050. Like,
thank you.
Imagine the water and the, but unlike Perk City, Silverthorne has incredible water.
Like, oh,
straight from the tap, the best water you will ever have. Like,
I'm okay with that. That's so hard to find in Utah. I feel like,
yeah,
nice, perfect, great, awesome water.
Yeah. In Silverthorne, Colorado, there's like beautiful water. Most of Summit County, Colorado. I mean,
Rocky Mountains, right? Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, cheers, my ladies.
Cheers.
Thank you, Meredith, for sharing this. I'm excited.
I'm also really into this hoppy lager idea. I think we need more.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, you can still pick up on the subtle notes from the lager, but then you also really get to know the hop. I like that they just did a single hop with it. I think that's a really cool thing to do with hoppy lagers.
I think that's like the best way for you to like fully experience beyond like hop water.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to get to know like a solid hop characteristic, I think going like with a lager, because lager isn't emphasizing necessarily on the malt bill. So getting that hop in there and that single hop in there, you're getting a really good emphasis on what it is and with the tasting notes you should look for. So I think it's a good way to like educate people and maybe like transition them into IPAs. Be like, what? You say you don't like beer or you only drink domestic. How about you try this thing that's similar to a domestic?
There should be like education behind this. So I feel like every time someone gets an IPA or a pale ale, they're like, it's too bitter.
Yeah.
Like, Kate, not every pale ale or IPA is bitter. Like we can, let's work this out real quick. Yeah. I just, one of the things that at Strap Tank we do is anytime Derek and I hear that comment, I'm like, I'll buy you a sample. Like this is on us. So just try it. And if you don't like it, great. But can you at least try it?
Yeah.
Cause you like just give it a shot. And I hate that. But well done. What's it called? Angry Jane?
Yeah. Angry James Brewery. They're Citra Lager.
I love this. I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. They did a good job.
Why are they so angry?
Who's James? Why is he so angry?
Why is James so angry?
Do you know James?
I don't know James. I went there and I was like looking at their can line, which has a sign on it that says do not touch. And my mom sent it to me and I was like, sometimes I want to say that to my coworkers.
Yeah.
Don't touch my machines.
Yeah. Oh, this is awesome. This is from your hometown. I wish I could say I had a beer from my hometown. Can you say that, Rachel?
I sort of can. There's a brewery. So I'm from a town called Tyrone, Georgia, and it's right next to a town called Peachtree City, Georgia, which is famous for being a planned golf cart community. Like there are golf cart roads and everyone has golf carts and everyone has golf cart parking. Yeah.
I want to live there.
But
golf cart parking, did you say that?
Yeah. Oh, like the high school? Because you can drive them when you're like 14 or 15. Yeah.
Why is this not more of a thing?
I don't know.
I love this idea.
You have to like plan it out. Like it was a playing community, I think from like the 60s. And so like, it's just part of it. There are literally like at least four large golf courses there. Like it's mostly like for like Delta pilots. Cause it's just south of the Atlanta airport, but also retirement and all that. But anyway, so they have a brewery now. And I am going to blank on the name like an awful person. I will get back with that after the break because they definitely deserve some kudos, but there's a brewery right next to my hometown.
That's really cool.
And I have a shirt from them and I'm having a moment.
It's okay because I technically was born in Orem in Utah. We're from Texas. So my sisters are there, right? Mm-hmm. Came back here and the closest thing we have to my hometown is Strap Tank, and I happen to work there. So I'm like kind of, so the people I grew up with are like, you make fucking beer in Utah County? Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Doing the Lord's work. But it's really cool that you can like go back and try that. I think it's so fascinating.
I mean, it's also like growing up there. I mean, beer culture in Colorado is so much different than the beer culture in Utah.
I think we're 10 years behind Denver-ish area. I really do.
Which I'm okay with because the Denver market's getting oversaturated. Mm. Like,
so we're going to enjoy that like growth/peak and then we can leave at that point.
Yeah, I think we can.
We go to New Mexico and start that.
I was going to say Montana. I'll go up. I need cold.
I need heat.
Oh, I know.
We'll vacation in the middle of there.
I can't. I'm going to go up. I'm going to eventually go up. I can't do cold heat. I can't. It's, you know, you grow up
in
9,000 feet. Your blood's like thin for the rest of your life. It's just how it works.
I like that. So then you said, you were mentioning the comment about hoppy lagers. Mm-hmm. So why do you like hoppy lagers right now? Why is that a thing for you?
I think it's because I am getting a little burnt out on full IPAs, like, and double IPAs and triple IPAs and all these things. But I love hops. I love that they're so like varied in from style to style. And like the fact that if you add the same hop at this point in the boil, it's going to do this. And then at a different point in the boil, it's going to do this. And then if you add it at the last point of the boil, it's going to do that. And it's going to three completely different results from the exact same flower. And I love the idea of that the one little flower, plus also to mention, it is the female of the plant. So like my little feminist brain is like, yay, ladies. But I think just having, I'm burnt out on like the really strong hoppy beers because a lot of the time I am getting too much bitter. I am getting too much almost like kerosene. Like I feel like my tongue is sandpaper. Like it's too much for me. So when you get into the beers like hoppy lagers or like lighter, lower ABVs, I feel like I'm getting more of the hop characteristic that I want to find.
Do you think that's coming from your experience in the beer community and the beer scene being in it or from consuming a lot of beer? Assuming you're consuming a lot of beer by being in it, but
I think it's a combination of both.
So you're seeing and appreciating the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going off a whim here. And then you're actually tasting the final product and being like, huh. Mm-hmm. So is that forcing you subconsciously to kind of hone in your palate to where you want your beers to be at?
Yes.
For drinking wise?
Yes.
So right now, today, is hoppy lager your beer choice?
Yeah, actually it is.
Is that throughout the year or is that right now today in, where are we, May?
Yeah, May. I'm very seasonally driven.
Gotcha. So
you talk to me 6 months from now, we're going to be talking reds and porters and...
So you like to follow that trend a little bit about like, you know, cold. So I'm saying in winters, darker beers?
Darker beers. So, not so many stouts though. Sorry, Diaz. Not so many stouts.
Why not stouts? What's wrong with stouts?
They're too heavy for me. I feel like I swallowed a brick. Like there's a brick in my stomach.
What about porters?
Porters, lighter body.
Okay.
And the roastiness isn't... A lot of stouts you can get on that verge of like burnt carbon. Mm-hmm. And this might be a bias learning about beer from my mom, but that's how she always describes stouts is burnt carbon.
Burnt carbon.
Mm. Burnt carbon. And I kind of get that a lot with stouts. And so I don't drink a lot of them.
Rachel, you kind of follow the same path when it comes like seasons and seasonal beers, or are you always stuck on one beer?
Oh man, I've never just stuck on one beer. See, like seasons don't matter. I just will get excited about things.
Okay, cool.
You know, I will say you are my like spruce beer sister.
I love spruce beer.
Yeah, I know that about you. The sprucier, the better.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Something that everyone else is like, this tastes like a candle, this is gross. I'm like, yes.
It tastes so...
Because I didn't have a chance to try the Ketos one.
Oh my God, the Ketos one. You guys try that one?
I know, because it was made by one of the bartenders, I believe.
Yeah, Chris, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think that was Spruce. I thought that was Sage juniper.
That was it?
Hobble Creek Pale Ale.
Okay, yeah. That so I didn't get a chance to have that one. I did have this last year, Heber Valleys from Clint. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. And then Julia made one in Springville, and it was fantastic. I will bring you guys one next time.
The Cascadian?
Yeah, Cascadian Dark Ale.
Oh, you've had that one.
I need to give you that one.
You need to give me that one.
Yes.
My parents brewed a homebrew every year with the blue spruce in our backyard.
From Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, and how was that?
Really good. And you always did it. We always did it in the spring because the spruce tips were better in the spring. Because
they have more vitamin C. I think they're younger and they have more vitamin C. We went down like a rabbit hole of research. Yeah. And if you get the wrong one, they can be poisonous.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So if you get the wrong type of spruce, it can be toxic to humans.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Julie and I went down this rabbit hole. It's like, So we went to like this, we went to the Wasatch, like, or the Wasatch front. We're like, okay, we got to make sure what size are they? What needles are they? Can't be square, round. Mm-hmm. And we felt like, what's that? Not geological, what are the farm foresters? Like outdoor
botanists?
Wilderness? Sure, botanists. We're like, yay.
I'm out here. I like plants.
I don't know.
Did you just say I like pants?
Plants.
Plants. I mean, I enjoy pants, Rachel, as well.
I enjoy pants and plants. All day, every day.
Pants.
Okay.
That's true.
I mean, I'm a shorts guy, but as a brewer, I can't. I have tried to wear shorts in a brewery.
Don't do it. Well, not safe.
We have safety, Rachel, with us.
Yeah.
I always talk to Derek. I'm like, I'll bring you shorts one day. Don't you fucking dare. Fine, tank top. Don't you fucking dare. Yeah. I'll never will because I understand it, but I love just, you can ask my wife that. I love just pushing the buttons a little bit. It's my favorite.
I'm not a button pusher. I'm not a button pusher.
I totally am, Merida. So then you currently work at Uinta.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been at Uinta?
It will be 5 years in October.
And what have your positions been at Uinta?
So I started as the administrative assistant, and I was part-time administrative assistant. So while I was doing that, I was still working at Hoppers. So I was doing both, and that was really awesome. And then I got offered full-time administrative assistant, I want to say a year later. I'm trying to think. That was 2018 I was offered full-time administrative assistant. And then COVID happened. And unfortunately, you know, having like a receptionist doesn't make a lot of sense when you're locking the doors.
Yeah. When no one's walking
and
in.
And no one's here. Yeah. No one's in the office and everyone's working from home. So unfortunately, they had to let me go, which was heartbreaking. But they offered me like a contract to come back and work in packaging, which never thought in a million years I would do. Never. And then I thought about it like literally for a night. And I was like, I'm not ready to leave this company. So I ended up working at Uinta, but not for Uinta.
Okay.
And then my contract ended. And then every now and then they'd be like, hey, we still need help. You want to come in on this day? And I was like, you know what? I need money and I still don't want to file for unemployment. So sure. And then I was here one day and someone literally just walked out and packaging manager came up to me and goes, you want a job? And I was like, yes, I would like insurance. Yes, I would like a good job.
Yeah.
And that was almost 2 years ago. That was two years in July. And it's very interesting because, again, I took on that administrative job. I applied for it because after working in fashion for so long and working for that boutique, the thing I ended up loving the most was getting to work with people, getting to plan events and do things like that. Excuse me.
That's your Colorado draw. I hear it.
Merida Jean. Planning them things.
So the job description said like planning employee events and doing things like that. And I got to do employee events and work with our HR director and employee experience and do events and parties. And I also got to know literally every human in this brewery. Like, I knew every person who worked here. I knew their face.
And you loved
I knew
that,
their
you?
Name. I it was the best thing ever.
Hell yeah.
It was my favorite part of the job. And that and customer service. Like, I never thought I would love customer service, but at the time I was answering emails and answering phone calls for customer service. And I had worked in retail. I had worked in as a server, and that sucked. But being able to, like, pick up a phone and be like, hey, I really like this beer. What other beers do you make that you would recommend? And I'd be like, oh, well, let me tell you. So I got to interact with new people every day and talk about beer. And it was the greatest thing ever.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it was like, I loved customer service. I have to be the only person who likes beer customer service. I would like to establish that. I do not want to work in a call center.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So then still being here, you're still working for Uinta and still loving it. What's your favorite part about working for Uinta?
The people. It's still the people.
Yeah.
I work with some pretty solid people. I have some really good friends that have come out of working here. Like, I have Lauren and I have Denver and I have...
Who I haven't met, by the way.
You haven't. Oh, you need to meet Denver because Denver is amazing.
So I hear.
Mm-hmm. I think she's still here. Yeah, she is. Shout out Denver. I still, like, I get to work with people like that, and then I get to watch people who come on to this job just because they like drinking beer, like in packaging, and then next thing you know, like, I'm like, oh, well, this is an ale versus a lager. We do this for this reason. Oh, that hop does this. Oh, let me show you the brew sheet and what we used. And they're like, oh, what's this? What is C30? And I'm like, well, it's a malt. And this is what, and I'll take you next door and we can take a little sample and you can taste it. Like,
yeah.
Having that opportunity to, like, kind of go over what we do here and why
and
you
help
like
educate
beer.
People as well. Yeah. Behind the scenes.
And
that's
not
awesome.
Just you like beer, but why do you like beer? Like, let's talk about what you like about beer. Like,
you're putting it in your body. You're tasting it. You're consuming it. Like, you should probably know about it, right? In my mind. So that's really cool.
And I've made some really good friends that are still here, and like, and if it wasn't for you and I wouldn't be in Pink Boots.
Are we going down that road right now?
We're going down that road right now.
All right, let's do it. So, okay. Pink Boots, I mean, you brought it up. So, are you a member of the Pink Boots Society, Merida?
I am a member of the Pink Boots Society and the social media officer.
Fantastic. Ooh, so you run the Pink Boots chapter in Utah.
I don't run the chapter. I run the...
The social media.
Yeah, the Instagram.
The chapter Instagram.
Yeah, I run the chapter Instagram. So, anytime you get a response on a message, like...
Pink Boots Utah, it's Merida.
It's me.
Hey.
Any reaction you get, hi.
So are you, is that your position in the chapter?
Yeah, it's social media officer.
That sounds like a thing.
What I'm called.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yes.
So I want to ask this question because I just want to ask you. What's your favorite Pink Boots memory?
Oh my God. Okay.
Now she's just going to cry.
No, Rachel knows though. My first meeting. Easily my first meeting.
Okay.
It was at Keto's. It was the first time I met Rachel.
This was also my first meeting. BT Dubs.
It's meant to be. My God.
I met Rachel. I met Jamie. I had already known Jackie. Well, I had met Jackie once before. And I go to Keto's, and it was a food pairing meeting, which... I had, like, kind of dabbled into beer food pairing, but I also had a grandmother who lived in Napa. So beer food pairing wasn't really in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's not wine. We don't pair it with
how
things.
How dare you pair it?
So it was really cool to, like, walk in and, like, there was some really good, like, Jenny Curtis Schaefer had this really good chocolate pairing. I can't remember what beer she had. I think it was either Red Rock or... I don't remember.
I do not remember the specific things. I think one person brought ice cream to pair with something.
So the one I remember the most is Ellie Lewis. She was with Proper at the time. She brought the Lake Effect and mango popsicles.
That's
and
what,
poured
yep.
it in.
Oh, shit.
Poured the Lake Effect in, like, plastic glasses and then put the mango popsicles in the glasses. One, I had tried Goza, like, once before, and I thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted.
Super salty. And
yeah. And I'm like, what is this madness? What is this abomination of beer? and then I tried this and I was like, oh my God, this is delicious. And then, I was taking the popsicle out and I was like licking it. It was like dipping it back in the beer and then like licking it. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I'm going to do this all the time now. And then I tried the Goza just as the Goza. And I was like, wow, this is so good. But we ended up staying like, God, it was a long meeting.
We were playing like kickball in the brewery. We ended up playing
kickball. I don't think Keto's.
That's why you remember it better than me. I remember meeting Marissa and she was like, I just came back from collabing with McKellar. And I was like, I do not deserve to be here. What is happening?
Marissa was the one who originally wanted me to join. Marissa worked here. Marissa Lindback,
So she was here and then she went to Red Rock, right, afterwards?
Yeah, she was at the Red Rock Beer Store. She's back in South Dakota.
One of the Dakotas, I believe.
One of the Dakotas, yes.
Back home, yeah.
So she...
I love her. She's one of the best.
When I started here, she was like, join Pink Boots.
Good.
And I was like,
good job, Riz.
I'll look into it. And then I became friends with one of our sales reps. And we were at Pine Beer Day and he's like, have you talked to this girl named Jackie King? And I was like, no, why? And he goes, you should really go talk to Jackie King. She's in Pink Boots and I think you should join Pink Boots. So I was like, fine, I'll go talk to this girl. And then I met her and I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's so cool. Oh my God. I'm so intimidated. Like, how is this person so cool? And I saw her like tattoo of the fermenter on her thigh. And I was like, oh, I'll never be this cool. And so she was like, yeah, you should totally join Pink Boots. And then she got me to join and come in. And then I had that meeting and we played kickball. And
Coming from that meeting, you were a Pink Boots member for life after that? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I honestly took the packaging job was I didn't want to leave Pink Boots.
Awesome.
I was not ready in any way, shape, or form.
I'm so glad I asked that question because I've always wanted to know what, you know, your favorite memory is. And that's so funny that these amazing women in brewing here in Utah, mm-hmm. It needs to get better and bigger and grow. Yeah. I feel like on every episode, I'm like, so are you a member of Pink Boots?
Oh, you are great. You are great.
Yeah,
for me, it just makes sense. Male ally cheerleader for Pink Boots.
Yeah, I try to. The thing about it, to me, it's this, and we'll get into these questions. For me, I don't understand how it's a male-dominated industry, brewing is.
100%.
And I just don't understand. I get it. I get how it's become like a society. Sure. But now I'm thinking like, I don't get it now. I don't get it. We're growing. We're becoming better. But there needs to be an understanding. I think there needs to be more collaborations. And I think there needs to be more voices, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Coming from a male, I think the Pink Boots is a great way to get those voices out because I see almost every brewery support the Pink Boots beer when it comes out. When that time of year comes, majority of it's out there and Pink Boots beer, it's a no-brainer not to be part of Pink Boots. And I love it. It's so fun. And the fact that I get to learn under Julia and she started the Pink Boots chapter in Utah.
She's amazing.
I geek about her all the time.
Bomb. She's so cool.
So you have some Pink Boots beers in front of us.
I do.
So which one do you want to break down right now?
I was going to say, since we're talking about that meeting at Keto's, I think the Keto's one might be a good first segue.
I actually have a house one. This is a strawberry IPA, right?
Yes. Which I'm still not clear on how that smushy thingy works. So I'm going to call it a smushy thingy. I clearly know so much about beer as I call it a smushy thingy.
That's what it does. It smushes the thingies.
So the best way I can put it. Yeah, well, I will do Malcolm and Clay justice right now. It's basically like a French press.
Okay.
For malt.
Oh.
That's the most simplest way I can put it.
But you also put like adjunct in there too, right? Because don't they put the whole coconut in there
that's what it's doing. It's pushing all, it's extracting as much
Why
as it can.
Are you laughing at me, Rachel?
No, you're
just the thought of putting, I know you didn't mean it when you said whole coconut, but I'm just imagining like fucking whole
coconuts being smooshed. Yeah.
Which is whole coconuts being thrown into a mash tun anyways.
That's why
at Weldworks, they put friggin' meat in their beer.
Hey, we're not going to get down that rabbit hole. But were you part of this concoction?
I was not either.
I know
Jamie was.
I thought Jamie and Jackie kind of orchestrated
And then I messaged Ashlyn because I was like, hey, any notes you want me to touch on or talk about? I want to make sure people like represent their beer. Like, I know every Pink Boots beer I've ever made, like, it's my child. It's my full-blown baby.
Yeah.
Like, I hug it and tell it how pretty it is and I'll go to the fermenter and I'll be like, good girl. You're so pretty. You're such a good girl.
I can see that. So, I would too.
Like, it's, I don't, I very much believe in not gendering beers, but when I make it, it's girl.
I love the nose on this right off the bat.
It's so good.
This is a candle beer right here. I want to make a candle. Oh,
it could be. I didn't get, when it first came out, I had it on draft. I was not getting like any strawberry really, but I think it's coming out a lot more now.
I got it like instantly. And I was really afraid because
it's one of the hardest flavors to add to a beer.
That, and I'm not a huge strawberry person. Like, I love like strawberries and like fresh strawberry jam or something. But like anything strawberry flavored, like pink starbursts are disgusting to me. I know, I'm freaking sacrilege. I have to be the only human on earth who hates pink starbursts.
I don't like starbursts, so.
Oh, well, man.
Whoa. These are some hot takes that happen right now.
These are first, guys. First.
So I was nervous because I'm not a big strawberry person. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. The first time I tried it, that strawberry was prevalent, but it was obviously not fake because it's not fake strawberry. It was like super. But it wasn't overpowering. It was present, but not overpowering. And that's my dream for any fruited beer.
Yeah. I think this is delightful right now.
Damn it. I hate this beer. I didn't make it.
Oh. Whoa.
Don't hate it.
It's really, I mean, you get the hops on it too. Yeah. Like, they're right there. I think the bitterness is there.
This hop blend,
great.
This year, I've, like, we all keep saying this. We have not had a single bad
No,
with this Pink Boots blend. Oh, it's fantastic.
I cannot wait for you ladies to try Julia's Pilsner.
I am so stoked. The sour that I had that she used, it was so good.
But I wish that Pilsner was a month earlier. So we could have brought it up and kind of, you know, but it's just been sitting there just being born, right?
It's doing
its Pilsner lottery thing.
And it's, I mean, I'm not gonna talk it up. It's terrible. You guys will hate it.
No,
but when we release it, you guys need to try it because it's. Whew. But this right here, it's the first time I've tried it, and strawberry's hard to nail.
Yeah,
and this one got great strawberry on it.
I love this blend, but the thing I love the most about the fact that they use a hop blend to raise money for these scholarships is that you get to see such creativity. You're literally using the same blend. And it's not across the country. It's across the world. It's a worldwide thing. Like, I have a friend who was a brewer in Hong Kong, and then he was a brewer in Bali. And he had female assistant brewers who were both in Pink Boots chapters in Hong Kong and Bali. Yeah, and he helped assist them with chapter brews. And so the fact that this is, like, literally a worldwide thing, but you're going to get such a different beer. Like, I have 4 Pink Boots beers in front of me, and each one is going to be immaculately different despite the fact that it's the same hop blend.
Yeah.
The same, exact same hop blend.
But it goes back to, you know, these artists creating the same blend, but let's see your art with it. It's fascinating. I love when Pink Boots comes out because it's the same, you know, it's the same hop, but different takes. And we've all had different takes. Everyone's got one this year, different takes. No one's copied one or had the same kind of style. It's really cool.
I mean, we have an IPA, we have a hoppy lager, we have a Goza, and we have a West Coast IPA. Like, those are 4 very different beers.
I just had a thought talking about this. Maybe the blend is like so extra incredible this year is because more people had an input.
I think so.
Like, they sent out basically like kits. So every chapter could kind of do like a hop rub and then like vote on their favorites and like vote. And everyone made a blend. Everyone who went to the event, like we all made a blend, and then we all did like a blind smell test, and then like we voted on the winner, and then our chapter sent that off.
See, that's
and
cool.
Then like central because like, Pink Boots HQ.
If it's not like, the world is involved in this, how is everyone gonna get to one location? But we can send it to everyone and then have their input. That you're gonna get way better feedback from that.
I think we should start that way now, and then like at GABF do the final top 3, like have.
Hmm.
You vote on the final top 3. And I think that way, because I mean, I would love to go to the hop rub at GABF. That would
that feedback.
I would cry with happiness to be there, especially because I'm pretty sure they do that at Blue Moon, and that's a Coors Field, and you know, go Rockies. But
Lauren and Jamie, we've had people participate, so I don't know why
Lauren,
you couldn't.
Lauren's been in it a lot. Lauren's gone a few times.
Yeah.
That is a dream that you are going to achieve. I will say that right now.
Boom.
Except I don't think, actually, I don't think they do it at Coors Field anymore. I think Blue Moon has a new campus.
I think that's irrelevant. I think I you're just going to go to the Hop Rub.
Regardless.
I know, but I mean, baseball and beer. Like, I know they go together,
you're talking
but like,
my jam.
What was it? 3 years ago, I got to represent UNT at the Coors Field Brewers Fest, Beer Fest. And I was like standing there and I got to walk in while they were, I was about to say rehearsing because, you know, dance person here. When they were doing like batting practice and like pitching warming practice. And I like walked in and I grew up going to Coors Field. I love Coors Field. Like it's my team. It's my home field. And just walking in and knowing like I'm about to represent my company.
That's really cool.
At the coolest baseball stadium. And anyone can find me on this one in the United States. No.
No, that is really cool. That's super humbling, and that's an experience that you'll take on forever. That's awesome.
Who is your favorite Rockies player?
Oh, Charlie Blackman.
No, you're never going to listen to this podcast, Charlie, but we met one time, and you tasted beer that I recommended, so yay! Beer and baseball.
Beer and baseball. Well, on that note, lady, we're going to take a quick break. And come back and break down some more Pink Boots beers. How's that sound?
Yes.
Cheers.
A quick shout out to one of our most supportive sponsors, Hopkins Brewing Company. Located within the heart of Sugar House at 1048 East, 2100 South in Salt Lake, Hopkins has a wide variety of awesomeness, such as trivia nights on Tuesdays, incredible local live jazz Wednesday and Thursday nights, small batch beers on Friday, made by a local legend of a brewer, Matt Yeager, and brunch on the weekends. Hopkins is the place to be. They got awesome swag. You gotta go. All their food and beer is made from scratch with local and sustainable ingredients. While visiting Hopkins and upon checkout, use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off your ticket order, excluding alcohol, of course. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to receive 15% off one of the hottest spots in Utah. Ladies, we're back. Meredith, you just poured a beer from Bee Wilder, the beast. So tell us about this one.
I'm just going to say it's the Chick Flip West Coast IPA. It's West Coast Double IPA.
Oh, it's a double.
Hey.
It's a
and
big
it's,
girl.
It is Bewilder's Pink Boots Brew. So shout out to Miss Rachel here, Sarah, and
Haley.
And Haley, who all worked on that.
Haley was a part of that too?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out. I fucking love
Haley. She didn't. We have pictures of her being a part of it, and for some reason, those did not get posted, and she mentioned she was sad about that, and I was like, oh my gosh, don't let that take away from your ownership in this beer. You helped. Yeah. You did things.
I'm going to reach out to her after this. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But Ross has the coolest labels, by the way, and the Chick Flip is really fucking cool.
It's supposed to be Sarah. Isn't that the story, that it's supposed to be Sarah?
That was the vibe. That was my thing. I'm like, I think this beer should look like Sarah, who's amazing. She's the assistant manager there. But the person who designed this label is Sadie, who is Stephen's wife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I fucking love Stephen and love Sadie.
I hope I didn't just mess that up. I am fairly positive her name is Sadie.
It is
because
Sadie.
That's freaking, yeah.
It is
I just love how enthusiastic you are about everything. It makes my day.
I just love life.
Every time
and
I listen
people.
To the podcast, I'm like,
thanks, Meredith.
Enthusiastic.
She designed this label. I still haven't met her in person. I can't wait to. But she designed this label and she crushed it. I'm going to save one of the posters.
Oh,
the
man.
The colors are so pretty. It's very, what's funny to me is because I used to work in fashion, you know what I think of when I look at this?
Kate Spade.
No, Blake Lively's 2022 Met Gala dress.
Wow.
Also, David, good guess. Shocked right now. Great guess.
Yes. My wife is a fashion nerd. That's for her.
Then ask your wife, does this can remind you?
I'm going to bring this up. I will.
As opposed to make you think of Vans.
Oh.
Product placement. You're thinking.
You're going to get so many sponsors. Mostly this beautiful green color.
This episode is sponsored by Vans.
And Kate Spade.
And Kate Spade.
And Kate Spade. And Blake Lively.
And Blake Lively's dress that one
Ryan
time.
Ryan Reynolds, you can also call us anytime you want.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Just so we can have your tequila, you know.
Gin.
Okay. She didn't mean that.
Listen, Ryan, it's still on the table.
Okay, you ladies get some coconut on the nose. That's the talus coming through. 100%. I will put my money on that.
Very, very possible.
Or laurel. Probably talus.
Probably the talus. However, talus is my favorite hop name. It's not my favorite hop, though.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The talus is a bone in your ankle.
Also, do you know what it's named after, though?
Talus, the Egyptian warrior.
No. This is where the nerdy part of my dad comes through, and I'm so excited about this. So I was talking to my dad about, like, the hop blend, and he was like, wait, there's a hop called Talus? And I was like, yeah, it used to be HPC 692.
And I could not confirm that.
Experimental names, yeah.
But now it's called Talus. He goes, Mary, you know what a talus is? And I was like, no. And he goes, it's a geological formation. My dad's a geologist.
Oh.
And it's when you're looking at like a cliff face or like a rough straight edge mountain face, all of the like runoff and broken off rock at the bottom, creating like a little rock slide, is called a talus.
Wow.
And so Yakima Chief, who I think owns, it's Yakima Chief. Yeah. Don't quote me on this. They named it that because of where talus is grown. And it's like a dedication to the mountains and like,
that's so beautiful. I'm going to go with the bone in the ankle.
I read it on their website. That's what it is. And it's just, it's
that's
like,
so cool. I had no idea.
It's buried rocks. Like, come on.
And bones.
And bones.
Yes.
I had no idea there's a story behind that. That's really cool. Yeah. Wow. So your dad and mom are like two best worlds and then
come. Oh my, yeah. They're super nerdy scientists. Like the best nerdy scientists. I love it. Well, like my mom is like, they were here about a week ago and I was in my rotation. I was in rotation 4 in my brewery association mentorship program. And I happened to be with a lady who is retired from Budweiser's sensory team. Like she was pretty high up on Budweiser sensory
team.
And
they take care of their staff over there.
I have to say, like, as much as we like to diss on Bud, cause it's domestic and we all work on craft. The one thing you will never not find is consistency. Like you could get a batch from February that was brewed in LA and then go out and buy a batch that was brewed in May in Fort Collins. And they're going to taste the exact same because they have geniuses on their sensory team. Mm-hmm. Genius. Yeah,
that's why beer pong is so good.
Okay. Well, have you seen that documentary that you can watch on planes?
No.
About their sensory program? You just know this. You've never seen this
Julia
documentary.
Julia has, and I was told to watch it.
Oh, it's life-changing. Yeah. It's like everyone should strive to think of their sensory this way, I don't like craft or otherwise. But it was cool because it showed it's like, you know, like they're still making beer. They're just like more on the science laboratory spectrum of beer and we're more on the like artist side.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of like, no matter how big you are, you can and should be doing sensory on your beer with all your staff and teaching them about your beer.
And that's why I think Uinta does a great job and Squatters and Wasatch does a great job. I can't vouch for anyone else. I can't say yay or nay.
That's how I learned sensory. I learned sensory because I got to work here and they literally came up to me one day and they're like, do you want to learn about sensory? And I was like,
absolutely. If you're in the industry, you should be doing that on a regular basis. Absolutely. Whether you're judging beer or not.
100% agree. I don't care if you are my sales director. I don't care if you work in packaging. I don't care if you are a hostess. I think anyone and everyone who works in a brewery should know basic sensory.
Amen.
And should know basics about beer.
Amen.
The more you know about, and the more you know about beer, the more passion you're going to put in the beer, the better product you're going to
put. When knowledge increases, behavior changes. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Merida, Rachel, this beer, what do you ladies think about this?
Oh man.
It's so tropical to me. And maybe it is the coconut and the talus, which is funny because I'm not really big on coconut. Don't like coconut, but I think it's because I'm also getting like guava-y notes. And like, it reminds me of that beer, my favorite beer in the world. It's called Tropical.
Pacifico?
No.
Oh.
It's a West Coast. It's called Tropical Snow Dance. Ooh. IPA. Yeah.
I'm glad it reminds you of something that you love. Dear. Because for me, I don't know about you ladies, but sometimes beers will spark a memory and you're like, oh my God. Like I remember a cider did that to me once. I tried a cider. That reminded me of my grandfather. He's the man who raised me. And I legit started tearing up over a cider. I'm like, oh my God. And I just remembered, memories just came flooding in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. You did that.
And I talked about this with my one of my mentors, that same one who worked for Bud, was that sensory is so tied to memory. Like without, you know, your smell and your taste, like, they're immediately tied to the memory neurons in your brain. And so for me, every day when I walk past the brew house and they're brewing and they're mashing in, it smells like my childhood and I feel comforted because my parents homebrewed. Or like, I love the smell of mothballs. Love the smell of mothballs because my grandmother put mothballs everywhere in her house in Massachusetts. And so like, not gonna cry. She unfortunately recently passed away. And so, before she passed away, when she was still pretty lucid, she knitted me a blanket. Oh, well, it's a prayer shawl. It's a little shawl, but I use it like a blanket and it still like just reeks mothballs.
I love that.
And I have to sleep with it because it's comforting. And my mom will almost throw up every time she smells it. And me, I'm like, home safe.
My two cents, to that, Merida, is, so my family, we believe in the Day of the Dead, like, you know, you've seen Coco, like it's a huge thing for us.
I have not because I don't want to cry anymore.
I think you should. I really do. What I'm going to say is don't stop sharing that story and don't stop talking about her, because once you stop talking about her, that's when she finally dies. But don't do it.
I will never stop
talking about her. Oh, now you're going to make her cry.
Yeah, now you're really going to. That's why
you just got to continue that story and like, continue that. You got to know. I would have never known about your grandmother had you not shared that story. So thank you for sharing that story.
There's one more thing that I have to share, and it's relative to beer for me, and that's, my dad was recently diagnosed with celiacs and it crushed me because his dad had it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm next. Like, and if I'm next, my entire career is over. Like, what am I going to do? If I can't drink beer, what am I going to do with my life?
Cider.
And I was telling this to my grandmother, and this is the last lucid conversation we had. I was telling this to her and she just cut me off and she looked me in the eye and she goes, don't borrow trouble.
Oh.
And I was like,
ooh.
And I have struggled with anxiety like my whole life. And that was the first time someone saying, hey, be more positive. Like, don't overthink it or don't focus on the future. That was the first time someone, the way they said it was just like perfect. And instead of sometimes when I come to work and I'm having a bad day and I'm worried about how things are going to go or if we're going to hit our numbers or something, you know, sometimes I want to say, not my circus, not my monkeys. But instead now I'm saying, don't borrow trouble.
That's beautiful. See? And had you not shared that, we wouldn't have known that. And I just wrote that down. I fucking love that. So thanks, Merida. God damn. Thanks, Grandma. Yeah. Fuck.
Her name was Coppers.
What was her name?
Coppers.
Coppers? I love that.
Coppers. We called her Coppers.
I love that. So next to us, we also have a lager, Yingling lager. Mm-hmm. Why do we have a Yingling lager? Which, as far as I know, it's only available on the East Coast, right?
It is. Actually, now you can get it in Texas, as far as Texas.
You can't get it in Vermont, as far as I know. I know people from Vermont who would drive to New York to get Yingling.
That's where it came from.
Maybe.
No, I lied. It came from Ohio.
Yeah. Liar. I was going to say, who do you know in Vermont that you never told
me? What smuggler do you have in Vermont?
The person was.
That
it procured this. Anyhow. So I'm going to pour this because I, you know, when we work in craft beer, there's like this idea that craft beer is IPAs or like heavy stouts. And like, it's not so much nowadays. Like, I think it's more of like early 2000s, late 90s was like craft beer had to be, you can't make this many barrels. You can't do this. You can't do that. Okay. Like, in order for it to be craft, it has to be like an IPA or like a fancy beer. And then like the idea that like Yingling or like a lager was even craft wasn't a popular idea. But in 2015, like rules were literally rewritten so Yingling could be included as craft beer, the Brewers Association of craft beer.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Gotcha.
So the story behind Yingling and me is I've always been on like craft brewery blogs and like following along in craft brewery pages on Facebook and things like
Taste
that.
Tastemasters.
Okay. No offense. This is way before Tastemasters. Well, before I found out about Tastemasters. And I'd always seen like this one and Pliny the Elder were always brought up on
these. Oh my God. Yes. Pliny the Elder is fantastic, by the way. Shout out.
Never had it. Much as I love Yingling. Did you just lump it in with Pliny?
No, I didn't lump it in. I'm saying like on these blogs.
It's a very Rocky's thing to say.
Want to go there? Should I check the score?
No.
There's a baseball rivalry happening as we speak. Not literally as we speak, not as you listen, but it's been great to observe.
So the two beers I always saw brought up in this blog were Yuengling and
Pliny.
Pliny. And so I was like, I'm going to try one of these beers one of these days. But at the time, I was on a dating app called Hinge. And I log on and I'm like searching through these guys and I see this one guy and he's pretty tall. He's got a really nice beard. He looks super outdoorsy. And I'm like, hey, that's nice. And with Hinge, you could like answer random questions. Like it was different than like Tinder and Bumble and all of those, because instead of just putting like a bio, like they asked you questions.
Okay.
And so one of the questions that was asked was, what would be your last meal? And this guy answered pizza from New Haven, Connecticut, a Yuengling, and ice cream. And I was like, that's a really good answer. I'm going to like that. And so he immediately responded and was like, oh, you like pizza from New Haven, Connecticut? And I was like, never had it. And he's like, okay, why did you like my answer then? And I was like, because you said Yuengling. And he goes, oh, you like Yuengling? And I'm like, never had it. However, I work in craft beer and I know it is America's oldest craft brewery. And it is also America's number one selling craft brewery. And he's like, oh, you work in craft beer? And then conversation just started to flow. Snowball, and flow. Boom. And, you know, 3 days later, we're going on a date. And now 3 years later, we live together.
Did you get pizza on your first date?
And no, have we did
beer?
Not.
Did you have beer on your
we
first
did.
Date?
We did. We went to TF.
Oh.
And that was my first time going to TF, too.
Oh, hey. What? A lot of firsts on this episode.
And he said I didn't shut up the whole time, which is very true.
That's fine. It's okay.
But he, I think, 6 months into us dating, he brought home Yuengling for the first time. And I was so excited to try this beer. And he brought it home in bottles. So that green bottle. And I tried it and I was like, oh my God, I get it now.
I get it. I also like New Haven, Connecticut pizza.
Well, if you've ever tried New Haven, Connecticut pizza, you would get it.
That's the point. Is he from that area? Is that why?
Yes, he's from New Haven, Connecticut area. Yeah.
East Coast pizza is no joke.
Oh, it's not. It's the best.
I mean... Oh,
I also gotta say, like, so someone from Georgia, this is hilarious. Yuengling is like freaking Bud Light and Coors Light. Like it's everywhere. It is like, it's the best option. Like if you go to a Braves game, Atlanta Braves, if you go to a Braves game, it's like, oh, like, you know, it's going to like, the pricing is pretty much the same as your domestics, but you're going to go for that. Like, oh, like it's $9 for a Bud, a Coors, or a Yuengling. Definitely that Yuengling.
Yeah.
Like I remember the one time I went to Macon and was not 21 and was at a bar, like we were just drinking Yuengling. Like it is a part of my life and it was so crazy. I just grew up thinking it was like Bud and Coors. And it's not. And there's people who didn't try it until a few years ago and people who covet it and like search it out. And that's so funny.
So I'm
trying to
do a clone recipe of this. That's my goal. It's my buddy. It's his wife's favorite beer and she does not crave beer.
It's like, I don't know. It's a domestic craft beer because it's still like so well done and it's a simple beer flavored beer lager. And it's the story behind it, I think, definitely. Beer is a conversation, number one. Mm-hmm. Beer is a conversation and beer and alcohol. Like, I'm a firm believer that you shouldn't just drink just to drink. Like, you're drinking, like, no offense to the people who go out and, like, drink just to get drunk. I do that sometimes too, but, like, I want an experience. I want to, like, know about it. I want to have that story behind it. I want to know why I love this thing so much, why it's so important to me, and like why certain beers are so special and like why certain alcohols are so special. Like there's certain alcohols that will always be in my house because they have a story behind them.
Yeah. I like that. And I appreciate that. If you had a brewery, Merida, if you owned one, what would you name it?
I've thought about this so many times. It's either something that's going to be like, I thought about this the other day. I honestly like something like She Devil Brewing because I love Lady Justice in Denver. I love what they do. I love everything they do. like their whole marketing, their whole like vibe. I love that. And that's something I would want to achieve in Utah. It's just this like feminist hotspot.
I like that. No, that's really cool.
I think She Devil, but there was one, I almost like, actually, I was looking into opening a brewery with a friend of mine when I was living in Colorado, and we were considering calling it, the Crow and the Badger, because we're both big Harry Potter fans. So Crow and Badger Brewing.
Do you mean Raven?
Raven and Badger Brewing. Okay,
because there's a big difference.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Throw down.
I mean, we established the Hufflepuff Ravenclaw thing early on, so.
There we go.
Here we go.
Circling we back. Can open it and call it Raven and Badger Brewing.
We totally could.
I like this idea. It's making in the works right here. I love it. Meredith, women in brewing in Utah, what's your opinion in that?
I think we need more of them. And not just in... Honestly, in just the production technical side, I think we do need more women in the sales side. We do need more women in marketing and administration. And those are still, you know, female dominated fields like marketing, administration, sales.
Sure.
But like brewery sales, beer sales, not that male it's very male dominated.
Okay.
And I think we need more women, and especially more women who have this background of education of beer and no beer,
right.
Which not like the men in it aren't doing a bad job. Like some of my best friends are sales reps and they do really good job. Like, but I think with certain women, like look at Becca at Proper, like she
effing
kills it. She's amazing. And the biggest thing one of the things I love the most about her is she also does education at Proper. Like I have learned so much because I worked briefly for Craft by Proper, that I learned a lot because I was working at Proper and having that knowledge of like, what's a proper beer glass? Like, why do we do this? Why did we do that? And I think we need more women in that aspect as well. Like more women as the face of breweries.
So what can you do to be a voice and or an example of what you just said?
I think one, for me, it's talking more about the fact that I do work in production, and until about 2 weeks ago, I was the only female in my department.
Hey.
Yeah. Thank God someone came back. We can edit that part out. but I was the only female in my department, and it wasn't a lack of, it wasn't on Uinta for that. It was a lack of, interest. Like, we need to put out there that these are cool jobs to have and cool jobs to do even as a woman, and like get out there and like emphasize more people like Lauren and Julia and Rachel and Libby and everyone else who's like working in these full aspects. And like,
right.
I honestly think it is going to be up to the breweries to be like, hey, have you met our super cool brewer, head brewer? Hey, have you met, like, use social media as a tool to be like,
I like that.
We are more diverse than you think we are.
Mm-hmm. And because Utah is a nice melting pot. Utah is an award-winning state. We make killer beer.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we bring those women that are kind of in the shadows in the forefront? Social media? You think that's a good way to go about it?
I think social media is one way to go. I think the blogger brain in me is like, let's
start. Is there a good way to go about it without saying neener, neener, flex, 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 kind of dissing men at the same time? How can we go about it?
Oh, there's a very – in no way, shape, or form do I ever think like – I'm not gonna lie, I have definitely heard more than once, why isn't there like a brown boot society? Like when I talk about pink boots.
Okay.
And I always respond, because it's not that we're out to get you, it's that we wanna feel safe. And we haven't always felt safe. And the thing I love about pink boots is when I first, you know, joined and then I was reading descriptions online, is that it's a safe environment for women to learn about the fermentation industry.
You said brown boots?
Yeah, people have said that.
So is
to
that
me.
Because men are involved? Is that a men thing, or is that
yeah,
a
yeah, they think
women
there
of
should be like, no, 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 not like just people of color. Like, it was a joke on the play on
oh,
pink
gotcha.
Boots.
So,
like, someone was like,
I like where you took that, though. Yeah.
There should be a brown boot society.
I thought you were talking about people of color. I'm like, why, what?
No.
So how come Utah doesn't have a wide spectrum of women of color in the pink boots? Why is it more, so it's more white dominated yes. in pink boots? And it female, is. Like in general, it's not saying that pink boots is only white women. Mm-hmm. No, it's, how come women of color also aren't, it's not a bringing it forward into the brewing aspect. There's not a lot of women in color of color or different ethnicities, different mm-hmm. of sexual orientation that's in pink boots. Utah chapter specifically, but I think why is it not attracted to other people? Does that make sense?
I think that is certainly growing,
yeah?
Especially like gender identities. That's mm-hmm. I feel like that's always been really diverse. I think unfortunately, and it is so. And this is something that I encounter a lot being on a BA subcommittee where we're actively like the BA in general is like we want more accurate representation on our committees and stuff. But the sad thing is like realizing it's our committees aren't the problem. It's literally the industry. Like there is a lack of representation in the entire industry. And I think at Pink Boots, I think it's hard for a lot of people to join. Like we both have tons of social anxiety. It was hard for us to go there and be like, we belong. Like, you know, like it was, and we do like, we have a really awesome group of women in pink boots that do their best to be inclusive and do their best to reach out, but it's still hard. We've also encountered, we've had to check ourselves and be like, oh, when we get together, we're like, oh, it's our friends. Let's just talk to them. But no, it's like, nope, talk to the new person in the room. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I think that's a big thing that we all have to kind of teach ourselves, because diversity is easy. Diversity is like you hire someone who's a different color or different gender than you. Inclusion is long-term taking the steps to make for that.
I like
that.
Making inclusion.
Sure that person is constantly mm-hmm. included. Like just hiring someone does not mean that you are being an ally and supporting them. You gave them a job, but if you still put up barriers after they have that job or have that place in organization, it's not the same thing. So you're right. Like I've struggled with this. I feel like Pink Boots is still seen as that for in some people's minds it's like almost it's still like an elitist thing. It's mm-hmm. an organization. And I think sadly, I think it's more of a product of our industry that women and people of color and people who would be in a minority, they don't feel like they have a seat at that table. And it's the people who already have a seat at that table need to take it on themselves to make more room at that table. And it might not be malicious. They might not realize that they're not making room at the table. But it's a thing. But I do think in the last few years, our chapter has made some strides, has tried to reach out and tried to be like, hey, you deserve to be here. We're not meeting quotas. We just think you're cool. Like, mm-hmm. we want to be friends with you. We just want more lady friends.
Yeah. And if you approach it that way, friends. I feel like that'd be really cool.
And I think that's exactly, Rachel, I agree with you 100%, is that's how we have to approach it, is... It's really easy to walk into a room and be like, oh my God, I'm so anxious. I know this person. There's a reason I wanted Rachel to interview me, because I know Rachel.
Right.
And she's my bestie. She's comfortable. I'm comfortable with her. But I know in my heart and in my mind, and because of evidence before, I can do better when it comes to including people. And that's honestly a new goal for me, is that I want to be the person when you walk into a Pink Boots meeting, I immediately look at you and I say, you're new here. Let's be best friends. Like, I just met you and I love you.
That.
I want you to feel the most welcome you could ever feel. Mm. And then I also, and maybe you've already been to a meeting and you didn't feel that welcomed, but you decided to give us another shot. I want to be the person who changes your mind and is like, this group's awesome.
So how can Pink Boots members do that outside of Pink Boots meetings?
I think when you go out and you see someone, women, trans women, non-binary, if you see someone in the fermentation industry, like I'm pretty sure if you work in a dive bar, as long as you're making 25% of your income from mm-hmm. fermentation, you can join Pink Boots. So if you're at Cheers to You and you see this bartender and she's trying to explain why the Uinta tap handle is better than the Bud tap handle, just like approach her and be like, hey, have you heard of Pink Boots? Like, I think that's the best way to go about it, is instantly. I always try when I'm out at breweries and I know for a fact that that person is not a member of Pink Boots. I'm like, hi, You should join Pink Boots. Come to Pink Boots. The
what's some selling points of being? Why should I be a part of Pink Boots? If I was a woman, why Pink Boots?
Because for me personally, I have met the most amazing, supportive, wonderful network of women and people that I ever could have known. If it weren't for Pink Boots, I wouldn't have met you. If it weren't for Pink Boots, I wouldn't have met Rachel. I wouldn't have met Jackie. I wouldn't have met Jamie. Like, Pink Boots has saved me. It has educated me. It has made me a stronger, better, not only craft beer employee, but also just like person. And I 1,000% can credit Pink Boots with that.
So lead with that, Merida and Rachel, both of you guys. I'm not saying you don't, but as an outsider and as a male and as a brewer, I'd say lead with that, because those people who are shy or have social anxiety or whatever you look like, where you come from, when you feel included and feel wanted, for sure I'll be a part of that, no matter what. So don't let go of that. You guys are doing a great job. Yeah. Seriously.
I think... Oh, can I still say a thing?
Please,
on that?
Absolutely.
I think a big thing, and we've had to check ourselves, because I think we're guilty of this too. Like, if you're at an event, if you're at a brewery or something, and just like the person serving you beer in the tap room is a woman, a lot of times people like, and this is, I think, more classist than anything. It's like, oh, you're just serving me. Like, you are like, I'm not going to talk to, I'm not going to engage with you. I'm going to assume that you're just here for a bartending gig. And I don't think that way. I sometimes catch myself just being like, I'm serving a beer. It's like, no, I want to get to know you, because I've served beer. But it was the thing. I walked around when I first moved to Utah. I had a resume that was all like packaging, production, packaging manager, safety manager. And people were like, oh, you want to be a bartender? I was like, you didn't read any of this. And I think like that is a big bias against women in this industry. Like, and especially like even men, like, a good gateway into working at a craft brewery is like you work in the tap room, like you get in where you can. Usually you need tap room people, and guys who start there are so much more likely to get in the back first, to move up first. And people just assume women working those jobs want to stay in the service industry, when a lot of times those women are there because they want to do the same thing. They want that same avenue of getting in, getting that foot in the door, and eventually getting to the back. And I think we get shut out a lot. And as women, sometimes we do the same thing. We're just like, oh, you're serving me beer. Like, might be nice. We might be nice to them. We might tip well. But sometimes we forget about, like what are your dreams? And that's not a conversation you always have with your bartender about, like, their hopes and dreams. But I think that's a thing everyone could work on.
Well, and it's something that I've been thinking about a lot recently, since being kind of, like, checked. You know, I've gotten checked before about my own behavior and how I can better approach being more inclusive. And it made me realize that, and I know I'm super guilty of this in the past, but gatekeeping in this industry is so rampant and so strong and so, it's almost painful. Like,
what do you mean by gatekeeping?
The idea that only certain people who look a certain way can enjoy craft beer.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I have been at a brewery in Denver, and I have not been to this brewery. I've been to this brewery once since. I was there. This is a while ago. And I walked up, and I was there on a date, and so I'm wearing, like, bright red lipstick, and I'm wearing, like, a, you know, the crop top, and I have my makeup all done, and I have my hair in a bun. And I was like, ooh, a smoked juniper pale ale? That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
And the bartender turns to me, he's big, white, bearded dude, and he turns to me and goes, I don't know, I've seen the manliest bearded men not be able to handle that beer. I don't think you can handle it. I think you should try this wheat. And I was just like, you don't know me. You just met me. How can you tell me what I know and what I don't know? Yeah. But that being said, I am very guilty of that. You can, as a server, you can look at people and be like, oh, you're not going to like this beer. You instantly are going to judge them. And in the last year, I have made it a personal goal not to be like that anymore.
Awesome.
To not gatekeep and be like,
that's growth.
There is a beer for everyone everywhere.
Yep.
And whether it's a lager, whether it's a, I think there's a craft something, even a seltzer. Like, you get a strong seltzer, you're still enjoying that fermentation. You're still enjoying that fermentation process. And that's a huge process.
Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of that. Seltzers, I think, like, oh, you're drinking a seltzer?
Oh, you must not know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But that being said,
But you don't know their life. You don't know if they actually can't have beer. Like, let's say we got gluten intolerant. All of a sudden, I can't have beer anymore. Yeah. Oh, you're drinking a cider? Boozy. I get it. I get it. So gatekeeping, that's an interesting term I've never heard before. But I think we're all guilty at a certain point. But the fact that we can acknowledge it and move past that and continue to grow, that's what I appreciate for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, so recently, like, bartending at Be Bolder has been so much fun. Also, just love them. So much fun there. But I catch myself doing that. I'm like, oh, this person walks in. I'm like girding my loins if I have to make a fucking cocktail because I don't know how to make cocktails. I recently had to learn. And I'm just like, oh, like this person, they're going to want to freaking like, they're going to order this mojito thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I love being surprised and, but experiencing that. And so like, if you've just been a brewer for a while and you've just been in the back, like take some time and serve people. It is just so eye opening to do that again. And cause you do check yourself. It is surprising. Like the people who come in who like, oh, I want this stout or like, I love hoppy things. Like, old ladies are like, I love hoppy beer. And I'm like, yes, grandma.
And it also opens the gate. Like you come up and it's like, I have this education. So you tell me, oh, I really like Bud Light. And I'm like, well, have you tried this 801 lager we make? Have you, it's nice. It's clean. It's crisp. It's simple. I think you'll really like it. Or I like Blue Moon. Oh, have you tried our Golden Spike? Like knowing that having education behind it, you open the gates wider for you to not gatekeep. Mm-hmm. That the gates are going to be open so wide that you, it's too big for you to gatekeep. You can't get there.
You're right. You're right. And for the brewers, this is my push for brewers. When you said it earlier, where brewers are kind of like
they're bears. They stay in their cave.
Get the fuck out and see what your client. You're making these for the clients, like the customers. Come sit at the bar. You don't got to say like, I'm the brewer. Fucking drink this beer. This beer is my favorite. No, like just observe. Just shut the fuck up and observe.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to push people at Strapping to do. Like us brewers, like, hey, let's just stay a couple minutes after work. That night shift's starting to come in. We got to talk to the servers, talk to the bartenders, get to know them, get to know, have them. They are your first line of defense to sell your craft beverage.
And I then love you.
Let's sit back and let's just observe. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. You can have a pint. You don't have to. You can have club soda. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think one, if I could tell brewers like, hey, just, I know you want to be little bears and then you're introverts sometimes, but like even distillers, get out and see where your cocktails are being made. Like I think Holy Stone's my favorite when it comes to, they go to the places where their cocktails and their products being served in these cocktails, like, you know, Lake Effect and all these other places. They go and they order it and they watch other people order it and they go, how'd you like that purple gin over there? Oh, that's fucking awesome. It's fantastic. Well,
I want a purple gin.
Yeah. So they you know, but I think that's something, another misconnect and kind of that gate, you know, like go and see. Plus it'd be really cool. I would geek out. Mm-hmm. I still geek out to this day when I go to a brewery and I get to talk to one of the brewers who ends up being one of my friends.
Yeah.
Come out. It's fucking Graham. You're like, oh, it's Lara. Oh my God, you drink your beer with your stuff. You know, that's just awesome. I love that. So speaking of geeking out, we have our final beer today, which is a special Pink Boots beer, which is, it's all right, right? It's okay, Glaze, right? Meredith, let's talk about this last beer.
Literally her baby.
This is my baby.
Tell us why it's your baby. What's going on? What's going on?
So this was our chapter beer. So we had several different breweries here. We had Hans Kombucha here. We had, Jill was not here though.
Oh, Jill wasn't there?
No, Jill wasn't here.
Damn. I don't think so. But it was still, it was like almost the highest attended like chapter collab day ever.
Yes. 20, almost 30 people.
I was here for like 30 minutes and I had to leave.
It was our largest brew we've ever done, 40 barrel brew. Oh. So our largest brew, our largest attendance.
Where was it brewed at?
And it was brewed at Uinta. Mm-hmm. Lauren and Graham worked very hard to figure out that you can brew a 40 barrel batch on our gorgeous BrowCon system. And so Lauren instantly was like, we need to do the chapter brew at Uinta, and tried very hard and made it happen. Lauren's the best. And this one's just my baby because it was going to be brewed at Uinta. I was one of the people who attended the recipe development meeting. And so I was there when we were like, malts do we want? How do we want to make this? Okay, we have decided hoppy lager. Like, how do we want to do it? When do we want to, when's the boil? And, you know, I'm not a brewer. I don't know how to add.
Right.
You know, like, I know the pretty decently know concepts of, like, start to finish
the
how to brew.
Process?
Yeah. But if you told me to do it on my own, I'd sit in the corner and cry. Like, it's, I can't do it on my own. But it was nice to, like, see that recipe from beginning to end. And then we all got to vote on a name. Like, we all got to propose a bunch of names, and then it came down to, like, the top 10. And then it came down to the top 3. And I proposed Our Lady of the Desert, because the way we were describing the recipe, it reminded me of just, like, a crispy morning, spring morning in Moab. And so I was like, Our Lady of the Desert. It's girly. It's a little religious, but... it's an ode to this beer being a goddess and a saint and something we love. And that was the chapter decided that was the beer. So it ultimately became my full blown baby when people picked my name. And then we brewed it obviously, and it was a great turnout, and it was really great to see everyone. And it was really cool to just be at Uinta and help and be there for Lauren and walk people around and show them around the brewery and just get to talk, and you get to see Denver do her thing when she was cellaring when we were doing the knockout, and see her doing it that way. And then after that, just walking over every day after work and just being like, hi, how are you doing? And petting the fermenter and letting her know she's doing a great job.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then when she came out, I tried it and I was like, this is exactly what I wanted it to be. It is, it reminds me of, if you've ever been camping down in the South, like Moab Canyonlands area, there is, if you go mid-April, from like end, from beginning of March to mid-April, you can still get snow down there. And there is, which sounds like your nightmare.
Yeah.
There is, I grew up, like, though I grew up in Colorado, every spring break, pretty much every spring break until I was like 10, my parents, my dad would take us to Canyonlands or Arches or somewhere in Moab or like somewhere in the American Southwest. So it's a big part of who I am. And there's been more than one time where it snowed on us, like dumped on us. And we would wake up and the snow makes these perfect little pills, like little bubbles on the red rock. But the smell it creates, the petrichor from there, is this like bright, fresh, wet earth smell. It's like, unless you've been there, it's almost indescribable. But when I tried this beer was that in a beer.
That's awesome.
It's
like
my
that.
Baby.
Well, let's break her open. I can't wait.
So beautiful.
Oh, that's a loud sound. I love that.
It's a big gale. It's in a crowler.
Rach, what's your opinion about this beer before we open, before we're pouring it? What's your takes on, you were there. I mean, you got to taste it.
Well, I was there. I was so sad. Like, I had a lot of other stuff going on that day and a lot of stuff in my life. And I was like, I'm going to show up. And I showed up like just in time for them to be walking away from the brew house and to everyone just be like, oh, like, let's just like talk and like sound off and who's here. And so like, I don't think I contributed at all to this beer. But I love it. I think it tastes amazing. And just like, you know, just finding out after the fact that it was
have
like
a little crowler, Rachel.
Right? But no, the fact that, you know, it was our highest attendance to date for a chapter brew day was so wonderful. And I think like that means like, I think that's great. It just makes me really happy.
Good.
That more people are getting involved and able to be involved. That's the other thing. Like it, you know, time is a hard thing, and this was like a weekday during the day, and the fact that so many people made it there on a weekday during the day, like probably took time off of work to come there.
Yeah.
You know, means so much.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah. Well, ladies, on this last one, cheers.
Cheers. Always tap.
I have a question for Merida as we drink this, and I have a feeling that it's going to mimic a question that David would ask, but you know, and ending on this, your beer child,
my baby.
Yeah. What are your personal like hopes and dreams for your future in beer. Yeah, like what? Where do you see yourself? Where do you want to be? Like, let's just talk about. Because also, I wanted to dive more into this and let you talk more about it more. But the fact that you got accepted to the mentorship program.
Yeah. What's this? What mentorship program?
Yeah. So Jackie King did this. Jackie King was the person who encouraged me to apply for it. So I'm on my last rotation. Sorry. It is a, so it's a 10-week program, 12-week program I had with, that's hosted, it's sponsored by the Brewers Association. I have 5 mentors that I spend 2 weeks with each mentor. I have an onboarding week and then I'm going to have an offboarding week. And the first, so each rotation is someone in the industry who's like more of an expert in their field. And I applied because as much as like, I'm grateful for packaging and the fact that I, one, got to stay at a company that I love more than anything, greatest company I've ever worked at. And I'm not just saying that, like the best company I've ever worked at. I want to eventually, I never had an intention to work in packaging. I never saw myself in packaging, but I am so grateful I have spent these last 2 years in packaging because one, I'm now forklift certified, which would have never happened if I was still, you know, in administration. Like that wouldn't, why would you need a forklift certified administrator? Right. But I am like, I'm forklift certified. I know so much more about beer. I know, like, I know what a Zom is and how to work a Zom.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's Zom so cool. Your beers all the time.
I know there's people who work in like sales or like marketing who don't know what a Zom is or like, you know, so if it wasn't for packaging, I wouldn't know what a Zom is or why it's important. I've learned about like proper packaging and all of these things, but really ideally I miss people. I am a people person, geese, goose. I need to be around people all the time. It's the same reason I've never fully had a desire to be a brewer because I respect brewers. I love brewers. They're geniuses in my brain. They're on a pedestal higher than Mount Olympus in my brain, but it is not for me personally. My ideal is something in marketing, something where I can truly be like talking to people at beer festivals. Working, I am also weird in the sense that I love beer festivals. I love being there for 8-10 hours a day, just talking with beer, pouring beer, and just, you know, it gives you that opportunity to talk about the beer, to talk about the product that you've made. And when you love the company you work for, why wouldn't I want to get out there and constantly talk about how great they are? Like, so I think being somehow in marketing and also honestly, having something along the lines of like what Libby does for Wasatch, which is like that education for opportunity. Dude,
Libby's the best,
awesome.
Dude.
Libby's yes, the she best. Is.
I'm so happy I get to work with her. We get to see each other all the time.
Jealous. Yes. Can Libby just be my best friend of all time? God damn it.
But like having someone who educates everyone at the brewery, whether you are president of the company down to sanitation, I think you should have a solid basic understanding of the beer we're making. Like it shouldn't just be regulated Amen. To mm-hmm. sales or it shouldn't just be regulated to brewing. Like you are going to make a much more solid product. I said this earlier, you're going to make a much more solid product if everyone in that brewery is just as passionate because they knew the work going into it.
Absolutely.
And they know, and they instantly know, they taste it from the brine tank and they're like, yeah, I'm definitely getting what, diacetyl, like
my favorite.
Like, I think working in marketing, but not just marketing, like marketing within the brewery, within 4 employees, yeah. Like
you should know what you're doing. You yeah. Know what the product is.
Yeah. Know what the product is, but also like, get people excited about our product.
Yeah.
Be like, oh my God, we're releasing this super cool watermelon sour.
And then like you said, at work, that environment's even cooler. You want to come to work. You feel a part of it. Mm-hmm. You're taken care of. You take care of the company. I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me.
And your product's going to come out better. You're not going to, like, send out, like, in packaging, say something goes wrong with your packer, you know, puts the cans in the boxes, like, comes out, looks all wonky. If you're really passionate about that product, you're going to be like, no, that's not okay. But if you are not passionate about the product you're making, you're going to be like, eh, whatever, send it out.
Yeah, you're right. So that's the thing. That's why, Merida, I asked you to come on this episode, is because you have that passion. It is palpable. Not even just Rachel and I, but a lot of us see that. You are awesome. I was geeking out when I met you because you have a voice inside this industry, not because you are within it. You are a part of it, not just because you're pink boots and not because you just work at Uinta. Like, you are a part of what makes Utah craft beer fucking awesome. And so I just want you to know that we all understand that. We live that, and we are grateful to know you, and that's why your voice needs to be heard. Thank you so much for sharing your stories today, because each and every one of them, I'm not going to forget. And Rachel, thank you so much for being here and helping me talk to one of your best friends. I mean, you ladies, yeah. I'm just honored to know both of you. I really am. And I get to be the cool person that gets to sit here between two, you know, mini juggernauts within the industry. So thank you, ladies. It's been so fucking awesome.
Thank you, David. Thank you for making me feel special.
You are special. You are worth it. And you are making a difference and making this community better.
Yeah. Seriously, this girl is the number one cheerleader for Pink Boots, for Uinta, and for just craft beer in general. Like, yeah.
I think
you can go anywhere and meet her, and she will tell you about all three of those things and why she loves them, and she will get you involved. She will get you into it, and she's a light, and she's amazing, and I love her.
When I go back to Colorado, anytime I tell people I work for craft beer in Utah, they're like, oh, wait, do you have craft beer in Utah? And I'm like, yeah, they do. And it's amazing, because guess what? With our laws, we don't just depend on our alcohol or ABV to make a beer. We actually depend on what's in the beer.
Mm-hmm. Burn Colorado.
Stop. Well, Merida, again, thank you so much for tonight, and thank you for hosting, and thank you for being here and trusting me to do this. And on that note, ladies, is there anything else we can do tonight? Is there anything else you guys need to say?
Also, we didn't get to them, but shout out to you and to 801. Nice, simple classic. And
oh, yes. So crushable.
So crushable. So delicious. Such a good match.
So many memories.
So many good beer. And Libby with the Women of Wasatch. We didn't get to it, but it's a solid goza.
Up at Park City Nils' system up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You brought so many amazing beers.
So much
we
beer.
Did not have
Someone's
time. Got
to drive home, Merida.
Also, shout out to Greg Matthews for sending me beer.
Yeah, I don't think you actually said the words Platt Park.
Yes. Platt Park Brewing Company, Denver, Colorado.
Boom. A lot of shouts in this episode.
I know a lot of people.
Well, ladies, on that note, until next beverage, my friends, cheers.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.